Welcome back to the Dogwood Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cumby, and today we're doing a Q&A with our videographer, Mark Denman. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. How has your day been?
It's been good. We just got back from playing Mario Kart on the Wii that Brian so graciously brought, and I won. I want everyone to know that it's normal. This is not like a freak occurrence. This happens all the time. Yeah. I always win.
Always a winner.
I can't think of one person who normally would, or I can't even think of two people who would beat me regularly.
Yeah, but,
you know, yeah, exactly. It's very normal.
Yeah, Brian recently brought his original Wii to the office, so we've had a good time playing around on that. Well, today I thought that we would do a little bit of a Q&A since last time we focused in a lot on pre-planning and kind of what that process looked like. And this time around, I thought it would be fun to just do a Q&A with some questions about process, but more just talking about some of your favorite stuff and just different bits and parts of being a videographer. So,
yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
We'll jump right in. The first question that I thought of that I was curious about is, what is your favorite video that you have ever filmed, whether it's at Dogwood or otherwise?
Well, I've had a lot of videos that I've enjoyed doing, but honestly, looking back, I think my favorite has to be the first one I ever did professionally. And that was a recap video for the Chimes Retreat.
Okay.
It was a retreat that Alabama freshmen would come in, and they would just hang out with each other for a weekend before the school year started. And that was just really fun because I was staying there overnight for 3 days. And I was just I was making videos every single day. I would wake up at 8, shoot until about 10 or 11 at night, then edit until 4.
Oh, wow.
Get 4 hours of sleep and do it again. I did that for 3 days. it was so much fun. It was awesome.
Yeah.
The environment was just so awesome. The atmosphere was exciting. And there's like all these kids that were just really nervous to go to Alabama. But then as the weekend went by, they got connected with churches and they got connected with each other, other freshmen coming in, and they just slowly grew in confidence. It was so cool to see.
Yeah.
So it had a great story. It was really fun to shoot, and it was mostly outside, so the lighting was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, love that.
Yeah, that's fun for sure. Were you a senior when you were doing that, or was this after you graduated?
This was after my junior year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So right before senior year.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. I love that. I like hearing all the different retreats that different schools have for their freshmen coming in, because Troy started theirs like right after I got there. It didn't exist when I was a freshman.
Of course.
Of course not, you know?
But yeah, it actually was the same for Alabama. Mm-hmm. The Chimes Retreat started right after I got there. So
really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know who the originator of this kind of thing was, but I know Auburn has had like the Oaks Retreat, I think is what it's called, for like a really long time.
I know that was the like direct inspiration for the Chimes. So
cool stuff. Sense. All right, question number two. What is your least favorite part about working as a videographer professionally?
So this is going to sound really bad because this is probably what I do the majority of my time as a videographer professionally, but probably editing, honestly, and sound editing. Because I can't listen to music, and I'm just basically alone in a dark room cutting stuff together. I don't know. I'm a pretty social creature, so I love the shooting side of things where I can like be with the client, be with the talent, and be able to direct and collaborate. I like the planning process because it's a lot of creative energy being put into figuring out, you know, what's going to be good. And color grading is pretty fun, too, because that's when the visuals come together and you're like, ooh, that looks good.
Right.
Or I got to find a creative solution to make this look better. But the actual editing process, even though it's arguably the most important thing of the whole experience, it's just like I would cut it out if I could.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what kind of goes into that process? I don't know if that was one of the questions that I sent you, but I think that's one of the things that a lot of people don't think about necessarily, because they see you when you're filming and then they see the final product, but they don't really know all the in-between parts. So could you kind of walk us through all the different pieces that you have to do to get a final product?
Well, it depends on what kind of video.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was a interview style, like mini documentary kind of video,
right,
then that's when the editing is the most intense.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I normally do is I'll listen to every single interview I've taken,
mm-hmm,
and timestamp each part that needs to be referenced,
right,
in the video. And I'll organize them in that way so I can come back and like intersperse them throughout the video.
Because
mm-hmm, what I see a lot of people do is they'll just like toss their interview clips in order.
Right, yeah.
Or they'll put all of one person in one section and all of another person in another section. And that's just a little, like, there's so much more you can do,
mm-hmm,
with your video than that. And that's what takes so long.
Right.
Figuring out how to make a story coherent, put everything together,
mm-hmm,
and keep it interesting throughout. And it's hard to, you know, if it's an interview, there's a lot of stuttering, like, mm-hmm, I'm doing now, and a lot of ums and ahs. And you need to either cut those out or find a way to like minimize the impact those are going to have. Because if you hear someone stuttering in a video, especially an edited video, that's when people start to lose interest and start,
right,
to like turn away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really hard. In a more scripted video, it's a lot quicker,
mm-hmm,
because you can plan it out from the beginning. So yeah. Does that answer your question? Do you want more?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's definitely part of it. I know, there's just so much that goes into video that I don't think that people really think about. Cause I mean, yes, there's all of that of you having to literally watch all the footage and find the good pieces out of everything and make everybody sound super great. But there's,
sure,
also like making the video itself look good and, you know, making sure you're going in and, you know, correcting different things, making,
yeah,
sure everything like goes together cohesively, all of that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of background work for sure.
Depending on the project, you do need, like, if you're doing a quick project,
mm-hmm,
or if we are, we usually just shoot it in a profile, like a color profile that's,
right,
basically ready,
mm-hmm,
to be seen.
Right.
But most of the time when we're doing like a bigger video,
mm-hmm,
I'll shoot it in a very flat profile, low contrast,
mm-hmm,
low saturation. This might be getting a little too technical.
No, but I think that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, when you shoot in a flat profile, it's a lot more flexible,
mm-hmm,
to how you color grade it. And it's a lot easier to make the footage better,
mm-hmm,
even though it takes a little more time to make that happen.
Right, right.
So that's usually the final step of the process,
mm-hmm,
because it's very intense on your computer to run all that at the same time. So
right,
I usually save that for last.
Mm-hmm.
Keep everything running smoothly, and then I make it hard for my computer.
Right, yeah. Are there any things, any tips or, I don't know, things that you've learned over your time doing interview videos to help people not stumble over their words as much or kind of guide them to say the right things without umming and awing?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I have taken a much more active role in.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I would kind of just like put the camera on, ask my question, and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, I've been listening for parts that are like going to be really important in the story,
mm-hmm,
or in the video in general. And I'll be like, hey, could you say that again? And oftentimes, the second time, they say it a lot more confidently.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that I need to do that like all the time.
Right, yeah.
Because, like I said, it's, you can, for most people, like, even if they're not super well-spoken, you can cut it around to make it sound pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want a strong, engaging moment, especially for someone who's struggling, which a lot of us do, I would whenever I'm on camera,
mm-hmm,
it's really good just to be like, hey, slow down, collect yourself, let's do that one more time.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that little bit of you saying like, oh, let's do that again, like that was really good, probably helps people with their confidence too. Because I think a lot of times you're sitting there talking and you think you're just kind of rambling and saying stuff. And then for somebody to say like, no, that was a good thought, like let's hone in on that, probably gives people a little bit of confidence to, oh, I do know what I'm talking about and this is good.
Huh. That's good to hear. I've always worried that like, when I ask for that, they'll be like, oh no, I'm talking bad and I'm not sounding right, you know? So I guess that's a better way to look at it. I hope that's how they see it whenever I do ask that.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. All right. Next question. Who are some of your biggest influences and inspirations?
Oh, well, I this could go on for 30 minutes, but I'll try to keep it brief. So for starters, Philip Hall, he was a really close friend of mine in high school, and now he's a prop master in Atlanta, and he does a lot of big stuff. Like he actually handled Thor's hammer and Captain America's shield and Avengers Endgame, you know. So he's had like a really awesome career so far, and he's only 27 now, I think. Sorry if I'm wrong, Philip. but he was the guy that initially got me into movies. He invited me over to his place and be like, hey man, let's watch this movie from the 50s, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I love movies.
Right.
So that's where it all started. And then Audrey Guerin, my high school photography teacher, that's when it took off. That's when my creative vision started coming through. And that takes time and a lot of energy to develop. And she was really great about being like, hey Mark, you're doing good. Let's work on these things. Let's try different things so you can be more creative instead of just like staying in the same spot kind of thing. So I was already passionate about it at that point. She just helped me make it work.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And then like now, like actual professional influences, like John Powell from the Library of, he's been a huge mentor to me. He's I ask him just about every time I make a camera purchase or decision, because he just knows so much about that, and he knows what kind of gear is going to be helpful for me.
Right.
And yeah, him, and he's given me so much professional advice as well. He's just, he's a rock star. Him, Adam Vaden as well in Huntsville, and my guy David Spencer from Alabama. We were colleagues at Crimson Tide Productions. He's awesome. Nick Macon as well. Aaron Hepp, Alex Seaver, so many people from Alabama had such great influence on me. And here, Nick Wells, who used to work at Dogwood. He's an absolute legend, so I really love him. And I've got those influences, and then a lot of YouTubers have influenced me, like Casey Neistat was one of the first I think of. You know him?
Yeah.
He's awesome. Casey Neistat's one of the first one. Peter McKinnon, I think he has a really great visual style, but his videos don't really say a whole lot. They're kind of just, you know, popcorn entertainment. And obviously movies and documentaries and stuff like that. My favorite director is Akira Kurosawa, and my favorite cinematographer is Roger Deakins. And I don't know if I can go into anything without talking about Sergio Leone, the guy who made The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Once Upon a Time in the West. He's an amazing director as well. So, I'm all over the place there.
All kinds of influences. I think that really helps like segue into the next question that I had, which is, how important is it to have a community of videographers to learn from and bounce ideas off of?
Oh my gosh. So important. They're like, I'm so grateful that I've had these influences and people who have been there before me and people who are there with me to bounce ideas off of and just learn from. Because like, it is complicated. Like, videography is such a complicated art form, and you can make it as complicated as you want it to be.
Right.
So having someone who can be honest with you and be like, hey man, you can work on this, you know? And I prefer people to be honest and nice at the same time if possible.
Yeah.
People like that are just, they're super valuable. And people who have been there and are good at what they're doing and they can show you how they did it, that's so important.
Right.
So I absolutely think that if you don't have people in your life who are videographers and you're trying to do videography, really look for it. And there's absolutely places for it. I think Brian mentioned it a few podcasts ago, but I'm taking a course by documentary filmmaker Mark Bone, and he runs a Facebook group oh, oops, I hit my watch on the desk here. he runs a Facebook group with hundreds and thousands of documentary filmmakers and videographers mm-hmm. who are all talking to each other and learning about it. So there are these resources online mm-hmm. if you can't find it in person. So if you don't have people in your life that you're getting influences from like that, then absolutely seek it out because it's there and it'll help you so much in your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think that's been kind of a thing that has kind of been a thread throughout a lot of our podcast here recently is just community and the importance of people in our lives and people in our careers and as an agency and all that kind of good stuff. So
absolutely. And like just community as well. It's good to be able to talk to people about mm-hmm. this stuff too. It can be fun. And I mean, it should be fun.
Right, right.
So it's great having people that I can just grab lunch with and be like, hey, this is what I'm working on. What are you working on? So yeah, having a community that cares about video is super valuable.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Well, we talked a little bit about, you know, how different videos require different types of editing and that kind of thing. And we do a good number of different videos, types of videos at Dogwood. So what is your favorite type of video to film?
Probably a documentary style.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the hardest.
Right?
Yeah, it's stressful, but a scripted video can be fun too, and event videos are really close. Like, mm-hmm. I think my bread and butter is kind of documentary style videos, and they're always my favorite finished product.
Mm-hmm.
But event videos are a lot easier, and they look very cool usually mm-hmm. because a lot of times they're outside, and a lot of times they're at cool venues. Mm-hmm. So I like that as well. The Montgomery half was super fun.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Yeah, that's always a fun one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing projects with all these different folks that have different ideas for what they're wanting, how do you kind of balance your creative vision for the project and your professional opinion with what the client ultimately wants?
That's a really good question. that's a lifelong goal and learning experience. I'm sure you know it even better than me because you have to do the same thing
mm-hmm.
with how you deal with clients. But I think a lot of humility is important
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones paying you and they know their company better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, then you're not going to be able to help them anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the client's always right. And I think being able to talk to your clients in a way where if you have a disagreement, mm-hmm. you can kind of be like, hey, this is kind of what I'm leaning towards. Not be like, hey, we have to do this or it's going to look bad. That'll go a lot further, or that'll get you a lot further
mm-hmm.
than just shutting down their ideas or propping up your ideas too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Does that answer
your question? For sure. Yeah, I think that's something that all of us in this industry have to deal with at some point or another.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, on my side where I'm more client facing and dealing with kind of the business operations of everything or your side of things or the marketing ladies when they're doing social and that kind of thing.
There's
a lot of times where a client is very adamant, like, this is the thing I want and this is what I want to do. And we have to kindly be like, hey, so this is our professional opinion. you know, at the end of the day, whatever you want, we'll do. But we just wanted to do our due diligence and, you know, say this is what we think you should do.
I feel like I've learned a lot from you and Brian and Kristen and other people who have been here about how to get better with clients because mm-hmm. it's a delicate balance.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you don't want to be arrogant and be rude or anything like that. But also, if people are hiring us, you know, we assume that they're hiring us because we know how to do a thing that they don't know how to do, or we have time to do a thing that they don't have time to do. And so you want people to listen to your expertise, but also sometimes they have very strong opinions about how they want to do things. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, my last question that I had for you is, what is your dream video or project to be a part of?
I don't have like a super clear answer on that.
Mm-hmm.
As dumb as it sounds, probably just like a really good documentary, you know?
Do you have like a subject matter that you think would be really cool to do a documentary on?
Not really. I mean, I'm, you know, religious documentaries for me are they hold a special place in my heart,
mm-hmm.
but just like kind of any documentary that has like a really, really good story, and I can put some dope visuals with it. So
dope visuals.
Yeah. that's the dream right there.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'm getting closer and closer to being able to do that every day. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we're doing that a lot at Dogwood here.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I like a lot of the documentary style videos that we've been able to do in the last couple of years. It's just, to me, those are the fun ones where you get to hear people's stories and get to present that in short form where people can really, you know, feel the heart behind whatever organization it is that we're helping with. So
yeah,
I really enjoy those ones for sure. Well, that was all my questions for the day. Did you have anything that you wanted to throw out there for the people before we finish?
I don't know. I think those were some good questions. I think covered a lot of good ground there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we love working. We love doing videos. Mm-hmm. So if you have any video needs, I'd love to talk to y'all about it and just bring your vision to life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For sure. Well, thanks for hanging out with me today on the podcast. It was a good one.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, as we wrap up today, I just wanted to remind you to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And if you really wanted to be awesome, you could go and share it on your social media or leave us a review. That just helps us to get the word out to the right people so that they can find our podcast. And also, if you'd like to connect with us, you can head over to our website at dogwoodmediasolutions.com, and you'll be able to find all of our social platforms, find ways to call us, email us, all that kind of good stuff. And you can also learn more about us as a company and about our staff and the different services that we provide. Thanks again for tuning in to the Dogwood Podcast. And until next time, happy marketing.